I believe in being an infinite player, which means that sometimes we're going to win, sometimes we're going to lose, but we're going to accomplish our mission as well. And we just keep going and doing our thing and making sure that we provide service both to our investors and our distribution channel as well.
Hi there, and welcome to another episode of Ask a Private Lender. Again, as always, I'm Lawrence from Mortgage Automator, and we're joined by, for the very first time, Pavel Churilyov, who's one of the partners at Mortgage Automator. We're happy to have him today, and I hope he's not going to steal the shine. I don't think he is, because we have a great guest for you today. Trevor Daly from Stone Ridge Lending. Known Trevor for a long time. We're happy to have him on the podcast. Trevor, thank you for stopping by today.
Hey guys, thanks for having me. This is great. I'm excited to do it. It's nice to get out of some of the other things I do and really talk about the private space and some of the cool things that you're doing over at Automator as well.
Really appreciate that and happy to have you. You know, one thing I always want to know right off the bat, right? I don't even wait a couple minutes in. I want to know right off the bat, how did you get into the private lending industry? Because I know you were broker industry for a very long time, but how did you make that switch over? And, you know, was it that you started funding your own deals or what was it?
So I've been in the broker space for about 20 years. I was actually a mortgage specialist. While I was a specialist in transferring over or transitioning over to the broker space, I had met a broker and he sort of said, hey, have you ever thought about private investing with your own money? I was doing well at the bank at the time. And I said, no, I didn't really know that was a possibility and so on and so on. So I started with my RSPs and I had a little bit of money in my RSPs. And funny enough, the story is that it started with $20,000 in my RSPs. And since then, it's substantially grown. But what I realized is, boy, as an investor, the rate of return that you get is great, but you can also help people in different circumstances as well. And the broker was great in talking about an exit strategy and all of those things at the time. And I thought that was great. You can help somebody out, but you can also help them out in a pinch, but then see them move forward in their life. And sometimes it was about education with the customer or they had a divorce situation or those sorts of things. That gave me a little bit of bug. I'm naturally a person that likes to help others. And so, you know, I was sort of bitten then, I guess, by the private lending space. And I was intrigued. And it was very young at that time. You know, you're 18, 20 years ago at this point, and it was different times, but yeah.
I always say the private lending industry is a very addictive industry, right? Like, and that goes for the people who work within and also even people who just invest. You go from not knowing anything about it to what's the next deal? And why is my money not out? And I want to make more of a return. And the way I see the private industry, and I say this over and over again on the podcast, is the risk, it's not a great risk for such a, what I look at as a great return. I don't think that they're equal. I think that you're getting a much better return than the risk you're actually taking. And obviously people do agree with that. Now, you getting into the private space and liking to help people out, and that was something that kind of attracted you to that space. Is there a particular type of client that you really go after, or is it just the gamut? You look for anything?
It's transitioned a little bit more as I, you know, transitioned to only being a lender at this point. But if I had to say, you know, at the beginning, it was really about helping people in all sorts of circumstances. As I mentioned, could be, you know, a bad credit situation where they needed some education around credit, could be a divorce situation, a bankruptcy, a business gone wrong, or sometimes somebody was just purchasing a rental property to help their investment portfolio. So that's where it kind of started. It was anybody and everybody. And the philosophy has always been the same as we transition now 18 years later to the idea is that our private money that we do is short term, whether it be a 1 year maximum, 2 year with a renewal in there. But the idea is to always have a proper exit strategy for the customer so that we can either get them into an institution or a credit union or a trust company later on or something with a little bit of a cheaper interest rate to start that path towards better financing for them. So the philosophy has always been the same. And I guess we still really deal with everybody. I think some of the things that are thrown at us are a little bit more different now. I would probably say that the credit quality of folks that come in the private space now is much better than maybe it was, you know, the 18 or even 10 years ago. And that's really due to, you know, B20 and B21 and banks and, you know, not being able to do, say, self-employed clients, those sorts of things. So we're seeing a better quality of client. And to your point about risk as an investor, I mean, I don't see it as a high risk investment. I know we have to quantify it as a high risk investment, but I really don't. Because as an investor, you can pick your loan to values that you feel comfortable with. Yes, your rate of return will be a little bit different or a little bit less with a less risky investment, but it's okay. So the sky's the limit when you want to invest in private mortgages. but also as a consumer that needs to utilize, or as a borrower, sky's the limit as well, and the flexibility that you have as well for solutions.
When it comes to your strategy for the exit, is this something that you help your clients work out? And do you leverage your brokerage at the final stages to make sure that you find them, I guess, the different mortgage?
Yeah, so it's actually a good question. So with Stone Ridge Lending, we do not have a brokerage license. So we work with Forest City Funding through Dominion Lending, and it's up to the broker to deal with the customer. We're just doing the lending part of it. However, each broker that deals with us knows that our philosophy is all about an exit strategy. So when we're approving or going through the credit, for a client, the one thing we're talking about is, what does that exit strategy look like? Now, we understand that circumstances can change over a period of time, or at least a year, sometimes 2 years, but we still want to know that there's that conversation has happened and that education piece is happening with their customers.
It's a band-aid solution. You know, you come in with credit that maybe you can't get approved somewhere. We're going to put you on the books for a year, maybe two. Hopefully your credit improves, or maybe you're out of a job. Now you're employed for a year, 2 years. Let's get you out. Because at the end of the day, I mean, yeah, it is all about helping the customer, not keeping them with a private forever. No one wants to do that. And I think that if you're set up with the right lender who understands that, that they can help you get to the goal and see that light at the end of the tunnel. So definitely a good idea to choose your lenders wisely. You guys are a syndicate or a fund?
So Stone Ridge Lending, as it stands today, is an administrator of mortgage funds. We syndicate on smaller things. We are in the process of opening up a MIC component with Stone Ridge as well. It'll be called SR Lend. So we're going into that space as well. We find that some of our investors want to see sort of a book return. And then some of our other investors like to be individually invested or syndicated with a few other investors they know. So we want to offer sort of both sides of the spectrum to the investor pool, all the while keeping the products available for the brokerage as well. And, you know, our brokerage, just as a side note, is 275 or 280 mortgage brokers. And we have a sister private company as well. I won't mention them today, but between the two of us, we have some pretty unique products that we can offer to our brokers.
It's definitely a plus, that's for sure. And just thinking about the lending industry in general, I mean, if you do have that relationship with a brokerage, or you have your own brokerage, it just solidifies that deal more, because you know the industry more on both ends. The client comes in, not only can you educate them on the private space, but you can educate them on, this is how I'm truly going to help you because I have all these connections. I know what I'm going to do with you or the broker who sent you in. I could even advise them. But do you ever find that sometimes someone sends you a deal and they just disappear? You kind of have that client and now at least you have the resource to take them out.
It does happen. So we've had brokers send the deal and say we funded the deal. I think that's where you're getting with it. And so we funded it and maybe we get up to that 90 days out from the exit strategy that we talked about originally. And all of a sudden that broker's gone. And this would be a broker that's not part of our brokerage. And they're gone and we're looking to refer, make sure that that's like a sort of a warm handoff back. But we always make sure that if that's the case, we do make our best effort. We'll always make sure that there's a broker attached to make sure the customer gets the best possible advice.
So as I'm getting to know the industry more and more, and obviously I'm more on the software side of things, it seems to me that there's a give and take when it comes to organizing a MIC. And obviously you need to be audited at that point. You have to use appraisers. Now, typically for your syndication model, do you still use appraisers? And how do you feel about the cost of organizing the MIC versus the benefits?
It's funny. This is actually a really fresh question. So I haven't seen the benefits of organizing a MIC as of yet, to be honest with you, but it is very expensive. So if you're considering doing it, I would really weigh the book of business that you can bring in versus the cost of it. And you mentioned audited financials. So not only do we have to audit our administration company as it stands today, but as we open up that SR Lend, that MIC, we have to audit those as well. So now we're paying two different companies to be audited. So we're upwards of $20,000 or $30,000, depending on the auditor. And that's an annual cost. So just that alone. And then you have your deal related costs, and maybe there's appraisal costs and so on and so on. So you're looking to get into a MIC and it sounds great and awesome and I can do all of this stuff. I think you really want to be at the $20 or $30 million mark to make it worth your while, to be honest with you, if I had to pick a number.
I would agree with you. There are some benefits, though, even cost of capital, right? You can leverage that MIC with the bank, little line of credit in your pocket, and maybe do tranche loans, A, B, or just put the money out. Do you ever worry with opening a MIC that you're going to have pressure of putting that money out? Is that something that, but I guess you have so many, there's so many brokers that you work. I mean, it's not a typical situation, right?
Yeah, I can answer that question head on. And it's the age old story of service, though. So if you're doing this, and this is maybe just to educate some that are thinking about it, but There's nothing wrong with thinking about it. What you want to focus on first is, yes, getting in money, but also what your distribution is going to look like. And then really making a commitment towards customer service. And it's that age-old question of service. But I'll tell you right now, we turn over deals really quickly within our brokerage. Jordan, who's my right-hand woman, literally will turn a deal over in an answer, sometimes within 30 minutes. Now, it depends on volume, but not gone a day where she hasn't turned it around, called the broker, understand the situation, no different than we would with one of our A lenders or B lenders. She's actually treating it that way so that we are always providing the utmost customer service. So getting that distribution channel and then every day loving on your clients, and your clients will be that distribution channel.
Yeah. Speed is key. A deal could be here now and in 3 hours, it's gone. So definitely have to jump on it. And not even because the broker is shopping, but the client sometimes is running around trying to find a solution without the broker even knowing.
Sometimes we forget to put ourselves in the end borrower's situation, and somebody coming in and borrowing money, it's very fearful for them, right? It's you know, they're giving their entire life, and guess what? Now they can't get into a bank because something's happened. So all of a sudden they're a little bit more embarrassed about that. It's our job as not only brokers to have to do their thing, but as a lender and having a broker as our client, we have to make sure that we respect that and turn that business around as quickly as possible for them.
So obviously you're not here for your health. Right? We have a lot of people that listen to this that have private deals that are looking for lenders. They want to build relationships. What are you looking for? Do you do firsts? Do you do seconds? Loan to value wise, rates, fees? Like, give us your pitch, what you love to do, what you have done, what your wheelhouse is.
I like to simplify things. So I always say this, and anybody of my friends that are listening to this will laugh, but I said, if a three-year-old can understand it, then anybody will be able to be successful at it. It's very simple, right? So I like to keep things simple. We're an 80% loan to value lender. First, second, really doesn't matter. We will look at commercial. Obviously, we will look at residential. We'll look at student housing. Really what we're looking for, and I want to bring this word back a little bit more, and I think it has just been lost, but common sense lending, which means that a file comes to us. It's got to service itself. We're not looking to take a home back. That's not why we exist. We're here to help somebody get to the next level because they have a vision on what they want to accomplish, whether it be somebody who's gone bankrupt. Well, guess what? They want a place to live and they want a great solid place and a home for their family. It could be a divorce situation and somebody, the goal that they want to accomplish is to move on with their life. And that's the only reason we exist. So it's 80% loan to value, common sense lending. It's got a service. If the person can't afford it, we're not doing the deal.
So prepaid deals, not for you.
We'll look at the prepaid deals. I mean, there's so many different nuances to it. So yeah, we can prepay an interest for the year, because you know the circumstance is such that this person can afford it in 12 months from now, but they just can't make the payments because they're waiting on some money to come in or something like that. That makes sense. And you asked about maybe something cool or different stuff that we've done. We've done wineries before. We've done some stuff off administration, but we're into a brewery. We're into, you know, all sorts of different cool things.
Right? No, you know, it's funny. I always hear like, you know, yeah, I'll lend on that house. If something goes wrong, maybe I'll take a look at it. A winery, I mean, that's... That sounds fun. That sounds fun. Do you go and do you visit the properties? Like, do you go up to the winery?
I do. I mean, those ones, because, you know, I geographically, I live in Niagara. And so it just so happens that the ones that we're working with are in Niagara. So I'm friends with the owners and they're there to do their business. We're there as a solution for them. And that's cool too. We know each other what we need to do to come together, I guess, right? And be happy. So
I love that. I love that. One question I always love to ask people in this industry, because you're dealing with money, right? You have investors. I'm sure you have a lot of wealthy investors who, you know, maybe started out small and then they've grown with you over the years because they kind of understand what you're doing. What's the best piece of financial advice that you've received from some of your wealthier guys who have the money in the bank?
Always have cash in the bank as well. So safety money, if you will. I mean, there's many ways to quantify that, but have a little bit of cash saved aside for a rainy day. We hear it all the time, but it's important. At least 10 or 15% of any dollar that you make should go towards savings. 20% of anything you make should go towards your future. And, you know, and then you got some bills in there and then the rest is fun, right? So really what you're looking at is 50% of everything you make. You splice it out where you got some savings, then you got some investment. So I think savings and investment are two very different things. And then you have your bills, whatever those are on a regular basis. And hopefully you're at a point where you can, you know, have some fun with 50% of everything you bring in. There's only so many ways to split a pie, right?
That's true. I mean, real estate market's crazy now. I'm sure you're seeing the numbers. They're going up. I don't want to even want to stay steadily. I mean, because it's It's not steadily, it's like rapidly. What's your view on the market now? Are you looking at your loan to values and thinking you should scale back? Are you sticking at that 80% and you're comfortable and you love the market? And maybe it's different in Niagara, but I mean, you lend all over Ontario, right?
All of Ontario, yes. Yeah, here's what I would say. And I've seen some of our people in the industry, you know, when they start to retreat, I'm going to double down in our industry because I believe in our space, and hopefully some others will do the same thing to keep our space going. I believe in Canadian real estate. I don't believe in big crash or any of that. There's too much invested from the Canadian government into real estate to allow that to happen. They're going to have some easing. They've already talked about this. There's no surprise. Probably see, I think the condo market's back. If not already, it will be back. I think you're going to see some need for low-income rental buildings to be built. And yes, traditional lenders will jump in that, but there's some opportunities for us in the private space to look at that and maybe help bridge some constructions for those sorts of things. So you're going to see some buildings being built for rent. I'm not concerned at all about the real estate market, especially in Niagara, London area, those sorts. I'm really not concerned about real estate. Now, Toronto is a different animal. I don't really lend too often in Toronto. We tend to stay out of there, or our loan to values are just a little bit less. So Toronto, as an example, would be a 75% loan to value for us because things can change really quickly in a major market versus outside of a major city.
It's interesting how you say that about doubling down. And we witnessed that with a lot of our clients in the beginning of the pandemic, where some lenders, they really took a step back just to wait and see what happens. And others went foot to the floor and they grew exponentially during that time. What was your experience like in the beginning of the pandemic?
Pedal to the metal. And there was no question. Yeah, let's get our brand out there a little bit more. We decided right off the bat that the sky was not falling and real estate was not going anywhere, no matter what. The one thing about the pandemic, and not to pick one side or the other, but things are going to happen today. They're going to happen tomorrow. They've happened in the past. Humans will always prevail and real estate will always be there going forward.
It must have been great for you. I mean, obviously not a good situation for the world, but when you're doubling down in a market like that where there are people retreating and not lending, and then you're the guy coming through and you're lending, those relationships that you probably built over that time are still going.
It's one of those things. And during that time, it was important for us to pick up the phone, call our investors as well, calm them down first, and then just see how they're doing too. And just making sure that they're mentally in a good place, whether it be investing or whatever it was, just a conversation. And that allowed us to do the things that we wanted to do. And that was to be aggressive in the market, to help our main clients, which is really the brokerage. That's our main distribution channel, to make sure that they had products to sell as well in a time of a little bit of uncertainty at the beginning of this thing.
Most memorable deal you've ever done. Does one come to the top of your head?
Yeah, it's actually the one winery, actually, is the first one we did, winery. It wasn't our first deal, but it was the first winery. And it was just, you know, really going through the nuances of what that looks like. And it's exciting right off the bat, but then getting into the numbers and saying, okay, like there's a little more risk in this, but then really understanding the vision, the owner and what they wanted to do with it. It'll always stand out, I think. I haven't really talked about this, but I opened up Stone Ridge Lending with my business partner, Mike Linansky. He passed away from pancreatic cancer at the age of 32, and it was 6 months. It happened quickly. That was a special deal to us because we underwrote that deal together, and he was my more commercial underwriter at the time. And so that'll always stand out. Him and I, we both formed a great relationship with the owner, and actually the owner's the winemaker as well. So
unbelievable. What about an oh no deal? Do you have any oh no deals where you did one and you're like, maybe I shouldn't have done it. Maybe something happened, but I got out of it. Like something that maybe wasn't as smooth as you would have liked.
Yeah. So I'm proud to say to this day, I'll knock on wood, we have not had a power sale of property to this day. So I'm proud of that. That being said, boy, there was one. And we just kept going and going and going. And finally, I don't know how it worked out, but I think we had to cut some fees, which was fine. And we got out of the deal and somebody else took it on. And it was a Toronto investor that decided that it was a good deal for him. And maybe it was, and that's not for us to judge, but it was one that the client would just perpetually default. And everything looked good when we underwrote the deal, but things happen in life. And just perpetually every month would be a default.
What was it? Was it a residential property, a commercial?
It was a residential property. And the great thing is, so now we start the proceedings for power of sale and we go to inspect the property. And now there's chickens on the property. There's pigs. There's like all livestock. And we're like,
in Toronto? Oh,
no. This is outside of Toronto. No, the investor that took us out was from Toronto. Yeah. So we show up at this property, all this livestock, and we're like, oh no. And now it's on a Friday, unfortunately. And we're thinking, well, who's going to feed the chickens over the weekend? It's kind of funny, but it's a learning experience. We worked with the borrower and we worked with the borrower's lawyer to make sure that they're, you know, we could get out of it and everybody would be happy. And the last thing we wanted to do was take that property, right? And we could have done all sorts of things with it, but we have to stick to our philosophy all the time. So
Trevor, daily free range eggs. Get them at your local grocery store.
Daily eggs.
Daily eggs. That's right. So that'd been great. That's very interesting. Yeah, you never know, right? But I guess if you stick to that 75, 80 in that range, there's always going to be a guy who's going to be riskier than you are, right? Very, and they're going to be, they're going to want to take you out and they feel comfortable with the risk and they're those type of lenders.
Yeah. And that's, you know, Mike and I, when we started this company, we sort of set it in stone, like this is what we stand for. And yes, there's going to be a shiny object, but you know, I believe in being an infinite player, which means that sometimes we're going to win, sometimes we're going to lose, but we're going to accomplish our mission as well. And we just keep going and doing our thing and making sure that we provide service both to our investors and our distribution channel as well.
I always say to people, you're not going to get rich off one deal. It's a slow and steady wins the race in this business. And you just want to make it to just keep going, right? Yeah. And you have to cut some fees. Okay, so be it, right? If you need a little bit lower on the interest rate, okay, so be it. You're not getting rich anyway, right? Like it's just do the right thing, do good deals, and you're going to be successful.
Yeah, when you look back on life, you look back on the entire painting, not just, you know, one stroke that you took on a certain different day.
For sure. And you have a great team. You brought up Jordan earlier. For people who would want to test you out, send in a deal, how do they do that?
Yeah, they can do it on PhiLogix, and Stone Ridge Lending is right on PhiLogix. I don't know if we PDF deals anymore, so I'd have to check on that. But they can always inquire on deals, info@stoneridgelending.com, and we'll answer stuff and you'll see our turnaround time is very quick. But PhiLogix is the main way where we capture files.
And I always tell people, if you're going to send a deal in, don't send them the deal that 25 people already said no to. That's a waste of time. Send them a real deal that they're actually going to want to do. So then you can actually see how they work. You can see the turnaround times. You can see who you're dealing with, you know, how they treat your file. And then you can go from there, but give them a real chance, right? Yeah. Give them a real chance to see what it's all about.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing when you're submitting a file, especially to the, like a first time to a lender, no matter who it is, the one thing that we find is we don't get enough notes. So brokers tend to think that we know exactly what's happening because we can see the property in the application, but there's a lot that goes into a story. So saving private lender time, and this is probably for all lenders, but just really telling that story and keeping in mind the five C's of credit, no matter what, whether it's private, A deals, whatever, five C's of credit always applies no matter what.
That makes sense. I always love talking to lenders. Everyone has their own niche. You can be friendly with everybody because really there's so much business to go around.
I find that in the mortgage space, we don't share enough. And I think the more that we can share, now we know our A lenders and all that, they share, but the more that we can share, the better we'll become. And we always have to worry about fraud in our space. So if we become a tight-knit network, and yes, there's enough business for everybody, we're going to weed out that fraud. And fraud is probably more prevalent in the private space, and I'm talking like serious fraud, than it would be with, say, your big banks and those sorts of things. So the more that we can communicate and be a tight-knit group, the better it is. And I know you guys are big supporters of that at Automator as well, which is cool.
We do our best. Do you ever have any incidents where, I mean, you sniff something out, something didn't look right or smell right, and it's just not interested?
Yeah, it was part of a FISCO fraud thing many, many years ago. And, you know, got some insight as to things that we should look for, and it really helped me in my career. And so, yes, we haven't had anything come to us, probably because we teach our brokers sniff that out a little bit before it even gets to us as well.
We just actually posted something about fraud, you know, some ways to avoid it. One being look at the signature on the term sheet and then match it to the signed docs from the lawyer. Just make sure that everything kind of looks the same. Right. Another was if you can try and have a conversation with the borrower or meet them at their property when you're doing a site inspection. There was, I can't remember, but if you're listening, go on Instagram and you can check it out. It's definitely important because even if you have title insurance and they cover you for fraud, it's not as simple as here's my claim and give me my money back. These things can drag on for years. Again, Trevor Daly, Stone Ridge Lending. You can find them on the PhiLogix drop down under private lenders, 80% lender across Ontario. What else can we add to that? What about loan sizes? We didn't talk loan sizes. What do you like?
You know, we'll look at anything under $5 million. That excludes land deals and stuff. We'll look at land deals over $5 million. And, you know, we got some investors with some deep pockets. So If we need to dig deep, we'll dig deep. If we need to call some of our friends in the private space, then, you know, we'll each take a piece of it and have some fun.
Residential, commercial, land, construction. Yeah. We do construction, Pavel.
And how quickly can you write for those deals?
Like the bigger ones?
Yeah.
A commercial deal, we can probably underwrite, depending on, you know, all the documents, the story and those sorts of things. We could probably underwrite it within 72 hours, I would think. We could jump on the file right away and then request documents, though. So our turnaround from a first communication back could be as quick as an hour, not even.
To fund it, it's as long as it takes Trevor to flip his mattress over and start counting. So sometimes it takes a day, 2 days. It depends how big it is, right? I mean, but he'll definitely they can fund fast. You guys are close to your lawyers, I assume. So yeah, they're on the ball.
Yeah, we're always looking to, you know, push them a little bit. I think we're at the 5 day point right now, and I think that's just the way volumes are happening. 5 or 7 days, give or take. It's an urgent file. We'll try and push it a little bit more, but 5 days, it's not bad. Commercial might be a little bit more. There's some nuances to it. Land deals traditionally take a little bit longer, but again, from a first touch, we're on that right away and communicating with, you know, whoever's.
But anybody who's dealing with like commercial deals, land deals, they get it. They're not expecting a 24-hour turnaround time. They know there's a lot more to go into it. Like a residential property, okay, what's the value? What's the mortgage? Yeah, okay, I'll do the deal. Great, no problem. A little bit different. So yeah, it's completely understandable. Completely understandable. And that email address again, if they're not sending through Biologics, info@stoneridgelending.com. Yeah. So listen, Trevor, we really appreciate you stopping by with us. Do you have any last words to say?
Yeah,
maybe
I
things
do.
That, you know, I yeah, do. Go for it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, one, thanks for having me on. I love to share and hopefully this offers some value to at least one person out there. If there's more, then I'm flattered. How we stumbled upon Mortgage Automator was quite amazing. We were using another software and just really didn't have the training. And to be honest with you, it was shitty. And sorry to say that, but it was shitty, the other one. And we stumbled upon you guys, and boy, the world changed for us. Your technology that you have and is easy to use, like day one. And then the changes that you guys have made, I think we've been on the system, I want to say, well, it's 2 years maybe. And like, it just continue to drive forward with the changes that you're making and the cool stuff that you're doing. And I like the transparency piece that you guys have in there and just trying to make it better for not only the investors, but also the borrowers as well. And you're always open-minded to, you know, any sort of changes or suggestions, which is always important. It's a give and take sort of relationship. And we love that. We support you guys 1,000%. If you're using a different technology, at least give these guys a chance to show you what they have, honestly, because it's going to change your business.
That's a fantastic
lesson. Nothing for me to say, but I assure you, Trevor's not a paid actor.
No, not at all.
We did not hire him to say any of that stuff.
Yeah, we're very thankful for the timing that we had when we met you guys, and we went along with it. And everything that you guys said, you did. And that's always important to me. So what you say, and you did it, and you're continuing to do it. And that's, love it.
You're on both the broker side of things and the lender side of things. Mm-hmm. And how would you feel if private loans would be, if you'd have the option to report those loans to Equifax to appear on the bureau?
I'd love it. I think in the spirit of transparency, I think everything should be out there always. I think it's good for every lender partner that we have in the space to understand how a client is repaying their loans, no matter what. So I love reporting.
Awesome.
I have one last question for you.
Sure.
2 years ago, we went to your golf tournament. It was a great time. Last year, obviously, there was nothing. Are you going to hold another golf tournament?
I think it's going to be not this year, but we're hoping 2022. Yeah, we're going to, I think there's going to be a lot of parties happening in 2022.
I think so. And I think so.
Yeah, I love to party, and I think I love to, you know, support not only our brokers, but then even our lending partners, our, you know, our technology partners, all of that. So, you know, the one thing we like to do is give back. So whatever we can do, and we're going to do that. It's going to be big in 2022.
I still have my jacket. I love still have my jacket. It's got the crest on it.
Yeah.
I rock it every now and again. So yeah, it's in my closet. And looking forward to the next golf tournament. Yeah, again, good. Trevor, thank you so much. 80% across Ontario, loan sizes, you know, up to $5 million. Give them a chance. Find them on Biologics. Email them at info@stoneridgelending.com. And just overall, a great team, great people to deal with. Give them a real deal. See how they work. And, you know, hopefully they surprise you, they impress you, and you'll continue doing business with them. But Trevor, thank you.
Yeah. Lawrence, Pavel, thank you guys. And thank you for everything you do every day.
Thank you so much. And hopefully we'll see you soon. Thank you to all of our listeners for tuning in. Follow Mortgage Automator on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. And we are also Automator Group on Twitter. Go to askaprivatelender.com to check out all of our latest podcast episodes, and we will see you next time.